Say if you're a guest this morning, we are in week four of a series called In the Meantime. And if you've missed the first three, they're on the website. And it's a series about what do you do in life when there's nothing you can do? What do you do when because we understand this world is broken. If you're a guest this morning and if you're not a Christian, welcome. Quick reminder that this world is messed up because God is a God who is fair, He is a God who is loving, and He gave us choice. And so from the beginning of time, sin entered the world. We have all sinned. We sin, and when sin entered the world, death came, and the curse came, and that's why this world is messed up. And we are all headed for death and separation and hell unless we give our hearts and lives to Jesus and say yes to God's free gift. Unless Jesus returns in the meantime while we're alive, we will all one day pass from this world. And so in this life, we know that there will be troubles. There's tough times. There's things that happen. And we're talking about how do we respond to that. You know, in this life, there can be issue with marriages and with relationships and with children and parents and with kids and with job and with finances and with health. Some of you right now are going through this season called, it's in the meantime. What do I do? And it's just life is so hard and I'm going through so much and I've experienced loss. Sometimes in life, we go through these hardships because of choices we've made, because of sin. Sometimes they just happen. So if that's you today, I want you to know that I understand. If you don't know, I'd be happy to take you to breakfast sometime and share my testimony with you. I've been through a lot of in the meantime seasons in my life, and most of them were definitely of my own doing. But that having been said, I understand. And the Lord understands if you're in a moment and a season. And for some of you, it feels like it's been your whole life. You're like, where is God? Am I loved? Why am I going through this? This is so hard. God does care. In the last 3 weeks, we've talked about the fact that God is not absent, He's not angry with you, and He's not apathetic. He very much cares for you and loves you. And this is so exciting because today we're going to prove that God cares. We're going to prove that He loves you. And we can do that from His Word. And that's why this is an exciting Sunday to me and why I believe we're fighting this spiritual battle of everything else. Don't buy the lie that nothing good can come from these seasons. If you've never been through one, you probably will be. If you have, I want you to remember and be so thankful for what God has brought you through. And if you're there right now, don't buy the lie that nothing good can come from this. Because listen, these meantime seasons, these seasons where life's in limbo, where you're experiencing loss and life is tough, they can be great because it's these times where God gets your attention. It's these times where God can get your attention. The Bible says, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and money and stuff and family's great and life is good and all this if you lose your soul? It's nothing. Doesn't profit you a thing if you gain the whole world, lose your soul. 2 weeks ago, before we had the Oldhams come and share with us last week, we had our missionaries to Egypt, and he made a point. It was wonderful. Ken, someone asked him about safety. You live in Cairo, Egypt, and you guys went there right after the Arab Spring happened. Do you feel safe? And you know what he said? He said, really, as believers, we're not promised safety necessarily. He goes, we're promised eternity. And he goes, during this life, we're to lose it for His sake. So he goes, we feel as safe as we need to be. And I just loved that answer. 2 weeks ago, we talked about going through these painful seasons in life. And we said what? You can either go through a painful season or you can grow through a painful season. That's up to you. We talked about that you must endure to mature. And if you remember, I asked you guys to start praying a prayer that says, God, help me to see what I'm going through right now in light of eternity. Because see, where even we as Christians get off so easily is this life is it. We get so caught up in our lives. We get in this, whether your life is good, bad, or in the middle this morning, we get so caught up in this life like this is it. This is nothing. This is such a small, small infinitesimal piece of the grand picture because we're separated from the Lord right now. That's why the Bible says to live is all about Jesus, but to die is to gain because we gain eternity. We will one day gain, there'll be no more tears, no more death, no more sickness, no more crying. It will just be wonderful. For the offering this morning, the old hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. We talked a couple weeks ago, remember you're supposed to glance at your problems and then stare at Jesus. Glance at your problem, but stare at the Lord. Because one day, these light and momentary afflictions, what you're going through, where you are today, will be gone and it will be glory forever. Hallelujah. So today, if God is good, .. If God is good. Now, what I would love to do is just cross out the if. Amen? I would love to just cross that out. If God is good. But this is a question that has been, this is a question that has stood the test of time. Since the beginning of time, if God is good, why so much evil in the world? And why when I turn on the news do I see this? And why does my loved one have cancer? Why did they have that car wreck? Why? This is a question that has stood the test of time. And why, again, is because God is fair. God is also love. We're going to answer today, why? If you're here this morning, especially if you're a believer, you might say, and people question, if God is all-powerful, then why not just, boom, why not just heal me? Why not just answer this prayer? Why not fix this? Why the miscarriage? Why the tornado? Why the earthquake? Why are people like this? Now, the Bible answers this, and we're not going to get there in 25, 30 minutes today, but we are going to make a couple points that I think are humongous using Scripture. And so, what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about one thing not to do, three things that you should do, and we're going to have a bottom line. If you take notes, good. If you don't, this would be a great time to take notes because I think God has given us. Actually, in my studying this week, I came across a point that actually I had never thought of, and I haven't been able to get my mind off of it since then. And so we're gonna go over that today, and I hope that it speaks to you as well. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, 1 Peter, of course, was written to persecuted Christians. They were being persecuted, and Peter, of course, knew something about that. Now, Peter, kind of his own doing, went through some stuff, right? Because didn't he deny Jesus three times? And Jesus said, you would do this, and Peter's like, no way, and then he did it anyway, right? And some of you, maybe you've had sins and struggles in life. It's a sin, it's an addiction, it's something, and you're like, I am done with that. You've woken up, and you're like, ooh, I'm never drinking again, and then you drink again. Or maybe it's a drug, or it's an issue. I could go on all day. And so some of you, you just do these things to yourselves, and so you go through things. And for some of you, it's just life. You had nothing to do with it. Life just happens. But again, we can always trace things back to sin. Because even like, for example, a tornado, which is a horrible thing. I've actually been through one in my life. Came very close to our house. Destroyed, death. It was a really bad one. I was a teenager. You know, that is due to sin. How is that anybody's fault? That's because this world is fallen and broken and under sin's curse because of what happened in the garden. So it all always goes back to sin. And the older I get, and some of you right now I know are going through in the meantime moments, and I care about you, and it hurts my heart, but I don't question God. I get mad at sin because sin is what caused it. Sin is what has caused all the brokenness and hurt in this world. And so 1 Peter 1, 3 through 12 are our verses for today. I'm not going to read them right now. We're going to get through them as we go through our message. But I believe that there's a lot in this passage. And what I want to start with is, if you're going through one of these times, if you're going through something, if you're questioning if God is good, then here's the one thing I want to say that you can't do. And that's question God or say, does God even exist? Now, if that's where you are, remember, God's not angry with you. He loves you. He understands. He knows you're human. He knows you're flawed. But the one thing I want to tell you can't do is question God or say, does God exist? Does He even care? Does He love me? James 4:8 says that if we will draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, but again, what we tend to do in times of persecution, in times of struggle, times where we've fallen, times where life is just happening, is we take a step or two towards God and then we feel like nothing's getting better. I'm not getting the answer to prayer. I'm not getting the healing. I'm not getting what I want. And it makes such sense to me. Why would this not just happen? This would be a good thing. Why not, God? And so then we withdraw from God. We either turn away, because if we take a step or two and say God's over here, we turn away. We backslide. We begin to look to ourselves for contentment. We get a new thing in our life or new things. And we, some of you have to change life every few years. Some of you have to move the living room around every 9 months, and then that'll make life better because things change. Different vacations, different things. And those are all great, but not if they're a replacement for God. Because I believe God is looking into so many lives here today in this congregation, in this church, and really all over the world. And He sees us take a step or two towards Him and then just we question, like, why aren't things better? God doesn't care. Is He even real? Does He love me? And He's looking down saying, if you will just continue to walk towards me, if you'll just continue to seek me, if you'll stay strong, if you will endure, you will have faith. God is saying, I have got such a plan, such a miracle, such an answer to prayer. And I tell you, we don't often get those because we shy away from God. We shy away from church. We shy away from others. We shy away from sacrificing our lives, from serving, from giving, from forgiveness. And that's the one thing you can't do. Because listen, guys, if God doesn't exist, think about this. There's no just or unjust. There's no right or wrong. There's only the natural world, the natural order things. If God isn't real, then your suffering is pointless. Your life is pointless. Everyone you love, it's pointless. You die and it's gone. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. What's the point? And then we get into moral relativism. There's really no right or wrong if God isn't real. Violence is irrelevant. Moral relativism once again will reign. Do you see how insane that is when you take God out of the equation? When you take God out of the equation of your life, then it's just what? It's just your life. And it really doesn't matter. Neither does mine. My life only matters in Jesus Christ. And I found that out the hard way. Because when I have given Him my heart and life, I am in a relationship with God that will last forever. And it will last forever in a context way greater than this world. Way greater than this broken tent. Way greater than the sinful, fallen way in which things are now. One day things will be perfect and right. And I think as Christians, oftentimes we don't dwell on that enough. And I don't want you to feel guilty. I want to tell you why it's hard to dwell on that. Because the Bible says we can't fathom it. I will sit here oftentimes and think about heaven. And listen, life is good and blessed. I'd be happy if Jesus came back today, to be honest. And He might, because the Bible says He'll come through the clouds, right? So it could be today. I have a buddy from Seattle who's absolutely sure Jesus is coming back to Seattle first. And because it's always cloudy, yeah, so he really does believe that. But Jesus can just return today. Because you see, that's when things will be right. And if you don't feel that way, you've got to say, am I putting too much into this life? Is this life too much home for me? Because we should long to be with the Lord. And we have to understand that's when things will be right and things will be as they should be. But if you remove God from the equation, let me tell you a secret. People who don't believe in God, people who aren't Christians, they struggle with suffering and evil in this world as well, just like Christians. The only difference is if you've not said yes to Jesus, then that suffering and misery will get exponentially worse and it will last for eternity because you don't have the Lord. He's the only way out of life alive. I love my wife and kids, and if Jesus came back, thankfully they're saved, they're following Jesus. They're not perfect, as neither am I, neither are you, but they're in the Lord. That's how we live, and so therefore I know those relationships I will get to have forever. Forever. And so that's what matters. Withdrawing from God or questioning your faith is the one thing you must not do when your prayers aren't being answered, when life is tough, when you're going through suffering, because without God you have no hope. And there's also three things that you must do. Three things we must do. We must look back to something, we must look ahead to something, and we must look into something. Yes, it sounds very pastoral. Here we go, 3 points. It's absolutely true. We must look back to something, ahead to something, and into something. So if you have your Bibles, the first thing we do is we look back to something. Verses 6 and 7 tell us this. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. And so there it is. God's not answering the prayer, so I'm going to wander. I'm going to start living a little bit more how I want to. What does that say about our faith? When life's tough, we have to endure. We have to rely on Him. We have to say, there's a reason. I trust Him. Our faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the whole world. And see, we should be living our lives and live and have fun and life is good and live abundantly. But let me tell you, there should be something in you that's like, when Jesus comes back, amen, hallelujah, come Lord Jesus. That's got to be our hearts. In the midst of life and busyness and kids and jobs and you name it, that's great. But that longing for Jesus to come back should be there. It should be there in our hearts and lives. There is a purpose. And if you're saved this morning, you have to look back to something. And I think we lose this as Christians sometimes. Let me tell you, if you know my story, it's a little different. But I don't care if you got saved when you were 10 and have lived a great life. You've been saved from something. You've been saved from your sin. And as Christians, we lose this sometimes the farther along we get in our journey with Christ, is we lose that humility and that brokenness to say, I am a sinner saved by grace. That's all that I am. I am a sinner saved by grace. God Himself came down and suffered unimaginable to save me of my sins, and there's been a lot. Don't lose that. Look back to something. Look back to periods in your life where your world was crashing down on you and God gave you grace. How dare we forget that? And we so easily run from Him. We so easily wander in our faith. We so easily wander with church and relationships and giving forgiveness and all these things. It just amazes me. So remember to look back to something and what you've been saved from. Praise Jesus. Listen, if you're saved this morning, you've been saved from an eternity in hell, separated from God. Time will never end. And you've been saved to something I can't describe. I can only imagine and look forward. We can't even imagine how glorious God's presence in heaven will be. And that's what we get for all of time, because we can look back and say that we have been saved. And Peter talks about this life, because this life, even if life's good today, it's not that good. I mean, it's life, right? It's life. I mean, life is good. I want Jesus to come back. I am blessed. I love my wife. I love my kids. Guys, I love you as my church family. Cubs have lost 3 in a row. Life is good. But I'm still ready for Him to come back.
No more salsa for you.
Oh, there we go. Go, Cubs, go. So, Peter likens this to fire. He talks about it being like fire. And that reminds me, of course, of Daniel. Of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and King Nebuchadnezzar. These were 3 Jewish boys who were hauled off, and King Nebuchadnezzar puts them into service. And what he does, he builds an image, this big image, and he says, everybody has to bow down to it. And so imagine being in like Soldier Field, and it's full, and everybody is now, you're going to bow down to this image. These 3 boys didn't. They didn't succumb to the peer pressure. They stood up and said, you know, we serve the one true God, and we don't care. You can kill us right now. We have eternity in front of us. And guys, I would hope we live lives of faith like that. No one here has ever threatened to be martyred for the faith, but it's going on all over the world. What in your life are you willing to let be put to death for Jesus Christ? Inappropriate relationship? Being obedient? Forgiving someone? Serving? Stepping out in faith? Whatever it is. I mean, I could go on all day. But these 3 boys wouldn't do that. And so Nebuchadnezzar, of course, gets mad, and he has them in the book of Daniel, and there's other secular accounts of these events. He has them killed. So he has them put into a fire. Let me back up. He doesn't have them killed. He has them, amen to that. He has them put into a fire. And the Bible says that the fire is so hot that some of the men who were putting them in there were burned up. But they go into the fire, and lo and behold, King Nebuchadnezzar looks in from a distance, and he doesn't see the 3 boys. He sees, and he says, why are there 4 people in there? I only put the 3 in, and how are they not dead? And the Bible says it's the 4th one who was in there with them is like the Son of Man. Amen. And they were spared. So let me tell you, if you're going through in the meantime right now, whether it's cancer and they say there's nothing they can do, or it's an unanswered prayer, or it's an illness, or it's a job, whatever it is, the Lord is with you and He's got a purpose and plan to bring you out of it. I promise. I don't promise. He promises. And listen, let me let you hear this as well. Sometimes it is not necessarily always, and God does it and wants to do it. It may not be the miracle, but it might be that you have eternity. Even if this body dies, you will one day forever have a new perfect body that will never go away. So just be joyful. Be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. And some days I have to think about that, and so do you. There's wonderful, wonderful joy days ahead. Isaiah 43, I love what it says. I don't think we have it up there, but I love the passage. Isaiah 43, kind of talking about this kind of same thing as well. It says, it now says the Lord who created you and who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and the rivers won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. For I am the Lord, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight. That's my God. Life being good, bad, or ugly. And if you don't have that relationship, if that doesn't hit home with you, you know that it can. You just have to give your heart. When you give your heart to Jesus truly, the Bible says that your flesh and blood can never reveal to you who God is and what He has in store. But it's His revelation to you when you say yes to Him. Coming to church isn't saying yes. Sitting in church isn't saying yes. Asking for forgiveness when you've done something dumb isn't saying yes. Saying yes is, I surrender my heart and life to you, Jesus. I no longer live. You live in me. I am done. Take over. And it's a lifelong process. But your heart's either done that or you haven't. You have to look back to something. You have to look back to the cross. See, this is what's so cool. It is not until the cross, and even though in the Old Testament there are many other, obviously, times. But I believe it's not until the cross that we see for 100% how much God loves us and how far God is willing to go to make good on His promises. Look at verse 10. This salvation, Jesus, grace, Easter, This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. Verse 11. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and His great glory afterward. And to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. So sometimes in our life there's suffering, but there's glory afterward when we trust Him. Christianity is the only religion in the world, and I can start naming them off. If you have more questions, let me know. I've studied them. Listen, it's the only religion in the world, first of all, that's truth. Second of all, where the Messiah, the object, conquered death. But third, listen to this. Christianity is the only religion in the world where the object becomes the subject of suffering and evil and harm and hurt. It was only Jesus. Only He suffered. Only He was mistreated. Only He went through all of this. Now, I want you to think about this, especially if you're going through something right now, and in the meantime, an unanswered prayer, and I want you to think about this. Next slide. Look at the cross. When you look at the cross, you realize the suffering of this life cannot be because God doesn't care. Have you ever thought about that? It can't be that. It can't be because He's absent or doesn't care. He sure would have never sent His own begotten to this messed up world, to this unfair world, to this unjust world, to this world where there's death and suffering and evil. And look what they did to Jesus. And then He went to the cross. And in the most cosmic event in the history of the universe, God turned His back on Jesus to take your sin and your death off of your shoulders. Hallelujah. He took it for me because He loves me. He can't not care. Or Jesus would have never went to the cross. So if you're in that pit right now, understand He cares. Or the cross would have never happened. The cross is proof that He cares. So look back to the cross. Look back to the cross. And secondly, look ahead to something. Look ahead to our living hope. Verses 3 and 4. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. I hope you're living with great expectation this morning, and you will be when He has your heart, because what you'll do is you'll think about His great mercy. Think of the worst sins you've ever done, and realize He went to the cross to forgive you for that. You've been given great mercy, and I hope you live a life that shows you appreciate it. And I hope I'm doing the same. Because then we will have great expectation. Because we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Pure and undefiled. Beyond the reach of change and decay. I mean, I like having a roof and a car and a beautiful wife and kids and a TV and all these things. And one day, I'll get an inheritance, and I've had money in the past. I've had all that. And a lot of that's went away. And all that doesn't have to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ, it ain't going to last, folks. So forget the inheritance. Forget this life. I mean, don't forget this life. Don't get too caught up in it. This is how it's going to go. I've got this mapped out. This is going on. This is good. God wants you to be successful and enjoy, but don't ever do it outside the context of your relationship with Him and being thankful and realizing that you are blessed so you can bless others. You are blessed so you can give of yourself. You are blessed so your mouth can praise Him. You are blessed that during the mean times you can praise Him. During the mean times, you're still blessed. You are. And we can have an understanding that we have this priceless inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. The inheritance isn't here. Well, now that I'm following Jesus, and I thought because I was a Christian, why isn't this life so much more blessed? I don't know. I'm not God. His thoughts and ways are higher than ours, and so that shouldn't be our goal. This earth is not our home. You are never without hope, because every tear will one day be wiped away. There'll be no more death, no more loss. Maybe you've never experienced loss. Maybe, but you have a loving family. You have kids. And you always worry. It's like, oh, what if something would ever happen to them? And it just eats on you and you're scared. No. As Christians, we don't ever have to do that. We just have to trust God. And we get to trust God. The resurrection guarantees you your inheritance. 1 Corinthians 15 says that life has conquered death. Death has been conquered. It has been swallowed up. And if you're here this morning and maybe you're young, I mean, I'm 40. I'm pretty healthy for 40, whatever that means. I don't think about death. But see, as a believer, I don't have to, because the Bible says I'll never experience it. And if you've got your whole life in front of you, you think, because you don't know and neither do I, and I'm not worried about that right now. Let me tell you, whether it's an accident or whether you have time to understand it's coming, there's going to be a time where you're going to care that death has been swallowed up and conquered. And you're going to be serious about Jesus. You got to do it now, because you don't know. And today's the day. Don't wait. Why would you wait? You have an inheritance that is beyond the comprehension of your mind, of your brain, of your soul, of your spirit. It's going to be greater and more unimaginable than you can ever, ever think about. Sin and death were swallowed up. God lost Jesus. He forsook Him for you. I hope that's right. Oh, forsaken, He forsook Him for you. And then there was Easter. And Easter is coming for all of us who were in Him, so we can look ahead to something. Look back, look ahead, and right now, today, look into something. It's our third and final point, is to look into something. Verse 12 says this. It says, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. For you and I here today in 2016 Hopston. Start calling it that. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. And my translation says this, my New King James, that's the New Living Translation. It says this, it says, which angels desire to look into. Angels desire to look into the gospel? Yep. But yet we've reduced it in our lives to what saved us. You've reduced it in your life to coming to church. You've reduced Jesus in your life to who saved you, who you pray for, as opposed to Him being our everything, our lives being dead to ourselves and alive in Him, Him living through us. We reduce the gospel. God has never reduced the gospel, never, ever. Even when Jesus was dying the most awful death and He turned His back on Him, who Jesus was and who He is and who He will be when He comes back and what He will do should never be reduced. We need to look into Jesus and stop making Him less in our life than He should be. Whether you're in the meantime, and the danger is when life is great, that's when we really tend to do it because life's good. He should be our top priority, our everything. He should be enough. Let me tell you, when Jesus is enough, everything else gets better. See, that's how I tried to be a Christian for a lot of my life. Before I was really wayward, I thought, you know, I'm going to try to do good and be good enough and all these things. And listen, God had to break me of my own doing. I was broken to where, you know what? I just give me Jesus and nothing else. But when you do that, He gives you. So many times as Christians, and some of you here today, you feel like, I've really done better. He's got 90% of me. He's got to have you. No questions asked. Some of you here today might need to pray some scary prayers. And I don't like that either. Some of you might need to pray for God to break your heart, for Him to humble you, for Him to recharge and revive your spirit. As the psalmist, as the psalm says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and make a right spirit within me. That's a prayer that some of us need to pray. And there's no shame in that. I don't want to, if I come to the altar, somebody might think, do you really care? Or do you care about making God happy? Do you care about Jesus? Well, He's for you. Do you care about your salvation? Do you care about your soul? And even if you're saved and you're living for Him and whether you're going through stuff or not, do you care? Would you pray that He would use you to reach the lost? Don't just pray that He would, Lord, let our church be a church that reaches the lost. You know that's what we care most about. But that's going to be you and me, not just me. It's not just going to be Hunter. It's not Dan. It's not Sam. It's you and it's me. It's us living lives where we keep looking back to something and being thankful for grace. Let me tell you, when you're humble and you don't forget what you've been forgiven from and you're not taking for granted what you have, you tend to look at people and treat people better. When you just are humble for grace and humble for God's mercy, you tend to look at other people that way. Because I could go out here today and I can look at some people, and those idiots setting those fireworks off at midnight last night keep waking my son up. I didn't want to look at them through good eyes. And if that was you, you're not an idiot. Still want it on the website. But seriously, we will look. Is it easy in Hoopston to go out and just look at people and be like, really? I mean, that's everywhere. But it's easy to do that. Do you have people in your lives, family members, friends, sometimes church people, and you're like, come on. Pray that God would help you to look at people like He sees them. Just pray that, say, Lord, let me look at them like You look at them. They are going to have an eternity in heaven or hell. And it's my soul's desire that I can be a part of helping make that heaven. That's why we're here. To reach the lost. We talked a couple weeks ago, remember? How many of you, if you left your cell phone here today and you got home and realized you didn't have it? Because I get those calls on Sunday. I left my phone at the church. How desperate should we be to love and reach people? And when we look back, and we look forward and we look into Jesus Christ as the purpose and point of our life, it matters. Hebrews 12:2, love the verse. We use it quite often. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because it was for the joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross. He despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was for the joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross. Amen. Some of us today are too concerned with the joys of this life to ever really surrender or give up. And that's something we have to stop. He wants you to live abundantly. He has come that you may have life and have it abundant and have it to the full. But some of you have never looked ahead, looked forward, and just thought, if I get 60, 80, 90 years on this earth, 10 billion years in eternity is just 1 second. What in this life is worth not giving your life to Jesus for? Because Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. You know what Jesus' joy was? Do you know what Jesus' living hope was? Do you know when He prayed, Father, take this cup away from me the night before, but God, whatever You want. You want to know what His hope was? You want to know what His joy was? It wasn't heaven. It wasn't an eternity in heaven and glory, because guess what? He already had that before He came to earth. He already had that. His joy, His purpose was you. You were it. Yep, you. I don't care how many times you've heard that, you need to take a deep breath and be like, amen, hallelujah. And so therefore, I'm gonna love or forgive that person. I'm going to start doing right. I'm going to step back and readdress. I'm going to maybe come and pray this morning and humble myself. God gives grace to the humble, the Bible says. Grace is God's favor. It's His mercy. He's looking down at some of your lives and say, would you just humble yourself? Could you come and pray? Could you just do this? Could you stop this? Could you trust me? I've got such great plans. Please humble yourself. And I will bless you. Obedience and blessings are tied together in God's Word. You were His hope. You were why He went to the cross. You were why He despised the shame. That answered prayer you want, that thing you want, that healing you want. But ultimately, it's all about eternity. It's all about the fact He wants us with Him for eternity, that one day there's going to be a party when Jesus returns. And He wants everyone there. He wants you there. Well, I'm saved. He wants you to help other people get there then. That's your job. That is not just my job. I will fail. It's to go and seek and save those that are lost. It's to go into the world and make disciples. It's to love. Verses 8 and 9. Can we go forward, please? You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you don't see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. Now listen, God wants for you in this life. He has plans. He has purpose. He wants you to be fruitful and multiply. He wants you to go and serve and love and be used. But the ultimate, what it's all about, is the salvation of your souls. That one day you too can hear it. I can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That one day when that trumpet sounds, one day when He comes back, when you breathe your last, you will know you are going to be resurrected. You will instantly be with the Lord in paradise. You will be resurrected for all of eternity, for love and relationship and joy and celebrating, and for an eternity with no more tears, sick, deathness, separation, no more in the meantime ever. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus did what He did. It was for you. We're just about to be done this morning. But I want to ask you one question in closing. And don't say anything out loud. What was the worst event in the history of the world? I mean, we could sit here all day. Was it Mao? Was it the first thing that comes to mind is Hitler? Millions of Jews killed for no reason. Ethnic cleansing. What about abortion? I don't even know what the numbers are now. I'm sure it's in the millions. All these events that are just so horrible, and we could go on all day. What was the worst event in the history of the world? The worst event in the history of the world was the cross. Because Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong. You think you've ever had, and some of you right now are going in the meantime because someone or something or life is not fair. Let's talk about not fair. Jesus, who came out of love, who was perfect, who was God, who never did anything wrong, who healed, who came to save and redeem, was beaten and made fun of and arrested and beaten some more and crucified. That's the worst event and the worst moment in the history of humanity, in the history of the universe, was when Jesus said, God, why have you forsaken me? When God turned his back on his son. Who would you do that? And God's perfect love, but he did it for you. Your sin, my sin. Your shame, my shame. Your death, my death. That was the worst event in the history of the universe, was the cross. Now, let me ask you one that you're probably going to get right off, but what was the greatest event in the history of all time? The cross. Yep. Amen. The cross and the resurrection, that was it. Because that was when God was able to make things right. He gave us an opportunity to say yes. He gave us an opportunity to be redeemed, to get back into that relationship, for the veil to be torn, for us to be forgiven, for us to find hope, for us to be promised eternal life. And so think about that this morning. Only God can take the worst thing in history, the worst thing that could ever be, and make it the greatest thing that could ever be. And for some of you in your lives this morning, you need to hear that. What you're going through, as bad as you think it is, as bad as you think your life is, what you're going through, where you're at, the hopelessness, the whatever it is, God wants to take that and make it great. And there's only one way He can do that, just like the cross, and that's Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray and we're going to sing. And as we sing, I would invite you, if you would like to pray or you need prayer or you want to talk, come and let us pray with you. Let me pray with you. Or maybe you want to see me afterwards. But if you're in the meantime this morning, you need to understand. You need to understand that thing, as bad as it is, God can make it great. But only when you surrender to Jesus. Because what did Jesus have to do? He surrendered to the point of death. Some of you this morning are still holding on to your life and your ways and your bitterness and your thoughts. And I need to understand this, and I don't get it. If God is good, why? Stop and just trust Him. Just give Him your heart and life. Just let go. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name I come to you this morning. God, I thank you. And I pray, Lord God, right now you would work on hearts, that your Spirit would speak. The Lord, some of us need to humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, or say, I trust you, or pray for this person, or pray, Lord, for this family member, or pray for our community, or pray for our nation on the 4th of July, or pray for our world. It is so messed up, but you are still good. You are still on your throne. You are still coming back to make things right. And for now, Lord, especially if there are any here today who have never said yes to you. They've heard this message about all this hope and this joy and this purpose and this peace and these blessings, and they're like, I don't know what he's talking about. Lord, they can come and get that and begin that journey right now here today with a choice. Because just as Jesus chose to go to the cross, we have to choose him. So Lord, I pray this morning you would work on our hearts, that Lord, there would be a humility in this room. Because God, when we stand before you, when we breathe our last, when that trumpet sounds, I'm not going to care, and nobody here is going to care about who sees them come to the altar. We're going to step forward in faith right now and say, God, I need to talk to you about this, because you love me and you want to make this bad good. Lord, I pray you'd work through the power of your Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name. Amen.